John's Gospel, chapter number 19, verse number 16. The Bible said, "Then delivered he him, and therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. In the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And you may be seated this morning. I'm preaching as of late in a series entitled Sermons of the Hymn Book. Not the H-Y-M-N book, but the H-I-M book. Amen. The greatest, most special book I know. It's called a King James book. But upon that thought this morning, I want to preach on this old hymn of the old rugged cross. Thank God that there was a cross where our Savior died. And upon this thought this morning of the old rugged cross, I want to share with you four little simple thoughts. Number one, before we leave, I want us to realize and recognize the emblem of the old rugged cross. Secondly, I want us to see the examination of the old rugged cross. Thirdly, I want you to take home with you the effects of the old rugged cross. But then my closing thought this morning would be, lastly, the encouragement of the old rugged cross. Now, quickly, let's look at first of all the emblem of the old rugged cross. You'll see behind me there's an emblem today that has been posted throughout this country. And it's something about this old rugged cross that is an emblem that is speaking. Now, the cross that all of the ball club members have in their ear, upon their neck, is not the cross I'm referring to this morning. But I'm referring to the old rugged cross where our Savior hung and died. The emblem of this cross, it stands for something. It speaks volumes to my heart and to my soul. For the emblem of this old rugged cross is where our darling Savior hung and died. It is an emblem that speaks to me. I don't know about you, but when I see a cross, I think of nothing except how it speaks the volumes of the love at Calvary of where our Savior hung and died. This morning, not only the emblem of this cross, do you find it a speaking emblem, but it is a saving emblem. I'm glad there's salvation at the cross. You say, "Brother Ken, I want nothing about this cross business." Then you'll die and go to hell in your sins. You say, "Preacher, I want nothing about this bloody cross business." We're in 2004. Don't you realize that that is the things of the old way? That's exactly right. And I will report unto you on the emblem of this cross. It brings to my heart of its saving ability that saved a wretch like me. I remind you that there's none good, no, not one. But by the effects of that emblem, of what that cross stands for, I'm glad that it saves sinners. I like what the Apostle Paul said. Said that it saved the chief of sinners. If God's grace and God's cross can save the chief, then I won't report in it can save the Indians. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank God for the old rugged cross. The saving of the cross. You say, "Now, preacher, what are you so excited about this emblem of the cross?" Well, it is a speaking emblem. It is a saving emblem. But I'll remind you, it is the Savior's emblem. That was not your cross. That was not my cross. And that was not the Roman's cross. But it was our Savior's cross. He had to get on that cross and die that you and I could live. the plan throughout eternity when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, before this world ever became into existence, there was a meeting. A predetermined council put our Savior on the cross. I remind you, it was not a rescue mission. It was not an ambulance that was sent into the scene, but it was a predetermined occurrence that God had set out in eternity past to bring into eternity present. His darling Son, be born of a virgin, walk in this life some 33 and a half years, climb an old rugged cross, and die. For me and you, it's the Savior's cross. And therefore, it makes it a sacred cross. I don't know about you, but this just ain't any old cross. This is a cross where the Lord hung, where the Lord died, that we could all go free. Thank God for the old rugged cross. It's a sacred emblem that has been distorted, that has been brought down many times to the lowest, to where the Hollywood crowd put the cross in their head. There was only one cross, and it was the old rugged cross before our Savior hung and died. The emblem of that cross, when I see the emblem of the cross, it brings to my heart about a Savior that hung and died for me. I remind you that the emblem of this cross, it shares with us several things. That cross points to the north, it points to the south, points to the east, and it points to the west. It says you can all come, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. I'm so glad somebody told me there was something more than a water baptism. I'm glad if somebody told me it was more than church membership. I'm glad an old preacher man stood and proclaimed the grace and the blood from an old rugged cross. There my Savior hung and died that I could go free. I remind you there are no big uns, there are no little uns, for we all stand even at the foot of the old rugged cross. The emblem of the cross. Secondly, the examination of the cross. You'll find in Isaiah chapter 53, do you really want to know what the cross was like? Of course, many of us have been able to go and see and of how that the cross has been illustrated. Let's look in this morning the writings of the cross. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's see what the Holy Ghost had to say about this old rugged cross. I'm glad that Isaiah had seen this. You say, preacher, how did people in the Old Testament get saved? They got saved by looking forward to the cross. But now this morning, we get saved by looking back to the cross. You'll find that Calvary had not occurred at this time. Isaiah, one of the great prophets, wrote in the Bible in Isaiah 53, he said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Because he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. I remind you, for every sin you've ever committed, there was on that cross that morning. Every sin that you would ever commit in the past, in the present, or in the future was on that cross. He was bruised for our iniquities. You say, preacher, not my iniquities. I'm a good person. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. And our righteousness are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. and with His stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Turn around, look around. Everybody is sitting by this morning. That's the iniquity that was on our Savior. The iniquity of us all. There's none good. No, not one. You'll find the Bible said in verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. The examination of the cross. There you'll find the writings of the cross. Isn't it amazing that God pinned down in the old Bible before the cross ever came by the writing to examine the old rugged cross? Isn't that amazing that God knew beforehand that He would send His Son to die on an old rugged cross so you, my friend, and me could go free? You see, the examination of the cross, you'll find the writing of the cross. Then secondly, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but over in Psalms chapter 22, we know a lot about Psalms 23, but in Psalms 22, there you'll find the wounds of the old rugged cross. Psalms chapter number 22. Boy, it'd be a good day for somebody to get saved. Psalms 22. Have you ever heard these words? My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? We're now talking about the wounds of the old rugged cross. Let's see now what here Jesus has to say. First of all, you'll find in verse number 14, He said, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. I remember that Jesus from the cross cried these words, I thirst. You'll see in verse 14 that here that His perspiration was caused by such an intense suffering. He said, I'm poured out like water. He said, verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. He cried, I thirst from that cross. In verse number 16, you'll see the open shame of how they stripped him of that cross. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Friend, they didn't tie him to that cross. They nailed him to the cross. He said, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. In other words, the soldiers took and they stripped our Lord, let him hang there in the nakedness. They rolled dice at the foot of the cross for his garments. And friend, I'm going to tell you, if you gamble at the cross, you'll lose. Don't take a chance without the cross. You'll die in your sins. And in hell, you'll lift your eyes. The wounds of the old rugged cross. Here, I'm reminded that in Psalms 22, we see a picture of Calvary that our Lord went for us. Also, I'll remind you in Psalms 129, something was said, Psalms 129, concerning the wounds of Calvary. Brother Ken, how did they inflict the wounds of our Lord? Well, in Psalms 129, in verse number 3, listen what he said. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. I want to read that again in Psalms 129 and 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The wounds of the old rugged cross. They beat our Lord
with what they called a scourging whip. Or it was one of the most awful and gruesome ways of punishment that a man could ever die. They beat our Lord with that cat of nine tails and scourged Him till He was at the point of death. Drug Him to a hill called Calvary and put Him on an old rugged cross. There He died for the sins of this whole world. Brother Ken, did He really die for me? Yes, ma'am. He died for you. The beating our Lord was attached to that whipping post in Pilate's parlor. Those stripes were healed. Every infliction of pain that was put upon Him was me and you. The wounds of Calvary. He said they plowed furrows in my back. Isn't it amazing you and I can have one little something come up in our life? We think how unfair and how ugly. But I remind you, nobody never suffered like Christ. They plowed furrows in His back. You see, this is the examination of the cross. You'll find the writing, the wounds. But now I want you to see this verse. I don't know if many of you have ever seen this verse. I found it last night. I want to talk about the witness of the cross. Found in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. You ought to mark this in your Bible so you can get back to it sometimes. I want to make one last statement about this movie of the Passion of Christ. It's been amazing how God has used this movie to open eyes. I've heard a lot of things, but one comment's really stuck in my mind. I heard this say, I don't believe it. I don't believe that they treated Him that bad. Well, I've got a verse that I want to share with this assembly this morning. That movie doesn't even reflect what our Lord went through. And it's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 52 and verse 14. Somebody left there and said, I don't believe it because I don't believe it was that hard. Mark this in your Bible, Isaiah 52, 14. The Bible says, as many were astonished at thee, His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. I'll read that again. I looked it up in the Greek. As many were astonished at thee, His visage was so marred. That word marred in the Greek, you know what it means? Disfigured. More than any other man. The witness of the cross. Brother Ken, the cross is ugly. It sure is. Brother Ken, I left that movie and it wasn't uplifting what it's supposed to be. I came, my wife asked me, what do you think? I said, honey, I don't have words to say. But all I can say this is I believe every bit that He went to a hill called Calvary. He saddled an old rugged cross and hung and died for the sins of this world. Kate, come here, son. You say, Brother Ken, I thought God's a God of love. He is. That's why He got on that cross. But you know why God had put you in hell this morning? You see this little boy, he's got a daddy that thinks the world of him. He's got a daddy that died for him. This little boy, he got on a cross for you and died. That was your only way out of this life. And you turned him down. What do you think his daddy would think? God give the best thing He had to keep you out of hell. He gave the only thing He had to keep you out of hell. I don't understand it. I don't even know why that His love reached that far, but I know it did.
I don't know why God in heaven would leave a place like that and come to a place like this. But I'm glad He did. He became God, manifested in the flesh. A lady asked me at work this week, she said, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question. Why did God allow His Son to die on a cross? Why didn't God stop Him?" I said, "I'll tell you why. Because it was God got on that cross. A God that loved us so much that He had died and shed His blood that we could go free."
The writing of the cross, the wounds of the cross, the witness of the cross. Jesus is saying here, He said, "My visage was so disfigured that I have a witness to the cross." By the way, did you know in heaven this morning He still bears the scars of Calvary? When you and I that are born again by the grace of God and we see Him there, He'll still bear the scars of Calvary. The Bible says, as a wounded lamb, I'm glad He died for me. Well, preacher, I'll have nothing about this bloody religion. That's your choice. You'll die and go to hell in your sin. The old ragged cross. What a difference. The emblem, the examination, hardly getting along, the effects of the old rugged cross. Boy, it affected some things. You'll find in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verse 51. I want you to watch this now. Matthew 27, verse 51. The effects of the cross. I will assure you, any time that you ever touch this old rugged cross, it will affect you. You'll find that this cross, first of all, it affected the sanctuary. Matthew 27, verse 51. Jesus has just cried with a loud voice in verse 50 and yielded up the ghost. He just died. Look what happens. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent." It affected the sanctuary. What was this? This was the old sanctuary where the great high priest, one time a year, would go into the Holy of Holies, present a sacrifice for the sins of all the people. Friend, when Jesus died, He was the ultimate sacrifice. That old temple had a curtain that pulled, a veil went across that protected the Holy of Holies. I want you to notice what the Bible said. It was ripped from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. Why? Because no man could rip it from the top to the bottom. But the Lord intervened. It affected the sanctuary. And because of that old rugged cross, now we can go in the Holy of Holies. We don't need a priest. We don't need a preacher. We can go in by the Lord Jesus Christ. Into the Holy of Holies. He said, "Come now to the throne of grace in the time of need." Aren't you glad you've got a God that loved you so much that He broke the old law and opened up the way of grace that you could run in? The old rugged cross, it affected the sanctuary. Secondly, it affected the sleeping. Look what happened. This is the only gospel writer that told a story. I read all four gospels last night. The only one that mentioned this. Look at verse 52. "It affected the sleeping. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." Look what they did. "Came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Boy, this cross affected the sleeping. When Jesus got out of that tomb and had died, there was a resurrection happening around Jerusalem. Can you imagine the old rugged cross even affected the sleeping? They were in the grave and got up and walked in the old city of Jerusalem. Can you imagine the uproar that caused? How could somebody not believe in Christ? There were some grandpas and grandmas, mom and daddies, brothers, sisters, little youngers probably walked back in that city. They said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Somebody called me out of that grave." Preacher, where'd they go? I don't know, but I venture to say they in glory land this morning. The old rugged cross. Boy, it affected. It affects you. You get around it. It affected the sanctuary. It affected the sleeping. Then in verse 53, it no doubt affected the society. I know people had questions what these people were doing. Luke 23, verse 27 affected the sisters. Luke's gospel changed now. Chapter 23, this is where I'll be closing. Luke 23, verse 27. Boy, I'd love for y'all to sing. I'd just love for y'all to sing that invitation song. Would y'all do that? That song that you just sang, I want y'all to sing that for close this morning. Just a few minutes. I want you to do that again. The effects of the cross. First of all, notice that it affected the sisters. Luke 23, verse 27. The Bible said, there followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. Preacher, I don't believe it was that kind of uproar in them streets of Jerusalem headed to Golgotha. Well, the Bible said it was. I remind you, his mother was in that crowd. Mary Magdalene, the one that had cast out seven devils. She is in that crowd. You know why? Because he touched her. The cross affected her. You know why I get back to church? Because I've been affected by the cross. It affected the sisters. Boy, it would do us good again this morning to shed a few tears around Calvary. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, for behold, the days are coming, which they shall say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. He's saying, a man that died and go to hell, one day I wish he had never been born. The effects of the cross. It affected the sisters. Luke 23, verse 33, it affected the sinner. That's where I come in. I was a great sinner. No different than this man. Luke 23, verse 32, there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. The malefactors, one on the right, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. The people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Verse 38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. What's going on, preacher? God was sure he had the first Bible tract nailed above his head. This is the King. That track worked. Let me show you what happened. Verse 39, one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and others. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He said to Jesus, Lord, most wonderful words he ever said in his days. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus come off that cross and baptized this thief? Nah. No, he didn't. That lets me know that baptism won't get me to heaven. I wonder what church he walked the aisle and joined. Put on the roll. I don't think he joined no church. I wonder how much work he did on that cross. He didn't do none. But I tell you how this old sinner got saved. The way this old sinner got saved. By the grace of the darling Son of God. Brother Ken, I want to know how did I get saved? You come to Christ. To the cross, just the way he did, just the way I did. As Brother Dennis said this morning, I'm in total agreement. When I was lost, I wasn't looking for Rome. I needed the cross. An old preacher came to my house one Saturday evening. lost, just as lost as a boy could get lost. Been raised in a church all my life and been baptized, but I've never been to the cross. The Holy Ghost introduced the cross to me that Saturday. Began to deal with me in my heart. And when the old preacher left, the Holy Ghost stayed. He showed me I was dying. I was going to hell. Climbed to my bed that night, couldn't sleep, and I tossed and I turned. Didn't have much to say that morning going down to Sandy Flat Baptist Church. I don't know what the old preacher said. I don't know what he preached that morning. But I can tell you where I was sitting. And I can tell you what I did. I was sitting on the third bench from the front. He'd given an altar call. He'd given an invitation. That's what the Holy Ghost said. He said, "Ken, do you want me?" And I said, "I want you more than life." He said, "Then would you step out for me?" When I moved out of that aisle, before my foot ever hit the aisle, the Lord saved me. Why? Because the old rugged cross affected me. This year, y'all come. I wonder this morning, on the old rugged cross, it affected the sinner. It affected the Savior. He cried with a loud voice, "Father, it is finished." Now I want to close with this thought. The emblem of the cross. The examination of the cross. The effects of the cross. But now the encouragement of the cross. Brother Ken, what encouragement are you talking about around this old cross? I want to give you some great encouraging words this morning. This is what Jesus said. "Come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add in these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things, saying, surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The encouragement of the cross is this. If you're sitting here this morning and never been saved, you can come. Not bringing anything. Simply believing of what Jesus has done for you. To come to the old rugged cross. This morning, as my brother and sister sing this old song, would you come? God's grace is amazing. We're going to give an invitation on this old song. Do you want to be saved? You come. I'll kneel and pray with you while we sing.